HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Brought to you by Irish Life Health.
Okay, so today I am joined by Emily Castles of Boundless. Emily is the co-founder and CTO. Emily, first of all, you're very welcome. Why don't you just introduce yourself and tell everybody what Boundless do?
Hi, Declan. How's it going? Thanks for having me today. As you just said, I'm co-founder and CTO at Boundless. We're a global employment platform that make it easy to compliantly employ overseas. So we've been running since 2019, since before the pandemic. Pandemic obviously made remote working the norm for everyone, but we've been really leading the charge on making it easy to expand your team across borders since then. And then personally, I guess I am one of those across border people. Boundless is headquartered in Ireland. We've got people in 7 or 8 different countries, and I'm in France and I'm based there permanently. So.
So you're living the company ethos.
Exactly. That's it. I've been trying to live it for a long time. So yeah, I'm delighted to be solving that problem for myself as well as others.
Good for you. My perception is that companies have a reluctance to let their employees operate remotely. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think that there's kind of two questions there. It's like, are they reluctant to allow people to operate remotely in their own country or remotely overseas? And I think the remote within your country is more solved than it was maybe 3 years ago. And obviously that like throws up challenges, like just becoming remote in any way throws up challenges. And it's something that you should do in a purposeful way, I think, that, you know, you don't accidentally become a good remote company. But I think people have learned a lot of lessons around that over the last few years. But then when it comes to allowing people to work remotely overseas, I think that opens up a whole new can of worms. And I think that employers are reluctant to kind of go there because of the complexity that's involved and really a fear of the unknown. You might think that you want to do it for one employee and you look into how to do that for one employee, and maybe you even solve it for one employee that, for example, wants to move to from Ireland to the UK, and you figure all that out. But that doesn't mean that you've solved your problem. You've actually opened up the problems, right? Because employee number two that wants to do it, and it's a different country and it's a different system. And so every time you do it for a different country, you know, you have to deal with the unknowns of that country and a different legal system, different system of employment, different taxes that need to be paid, etc. So it's just it's very opaque, the whole thing, and I think that like employers just don't want to put themselves in that situation. That's what we see anyway.
And Emily, is this primarily like compliance and tax? Is that where the fear stems from, based on your own experience?
Yeah, I think it really comes down to the compliance aspect of things. Like people, you know, they don't want to get a degree in international employment law, or they don't want to get a degree in employment law for any one particular country. It's kind of, it's distracting from the core business that they have, perhaps. And, you know, they really just, they either want that problem to be solved in one go, or they don't want to open themselves up to that problem in the first place. So like without a solution like Boundless, you have to solve that problem every single time somebody wants to go to a different country, or you want to employ somebody in a different country. I just think that there's such a lack of transparency there in as to what the problems are that can arise.
And just before we get into the problems, I mean, clearly you're doing it yourself. You're a yeah. good case in point. What are the benefits from the organization's point of view, and maybe from the employee's point of view of being allowed work from, are we saying anywhere or
work
maybe
from
anywhere?
Anywhere.
With, yeah. So what are the benefits to the company? What are your personal benefits?
Okay, well, so I'll talk about it from the company perspective as opposed to the employee will come into things, I think. But, you know, for the company, the reasons why you would do this is because of access to talent, you know, retention of employees, making sure that your employees are happy. You know, when you think about access to talent, employing from anywhere means that the talent pool that you have available to you is way wider. And, you know, maybe you are faced with employing overseas because you have an existing employee that wants to move somewhere. But as soon as you open yourself up to being able to do that, you have access to people from all over the world, right? Not just the 50 to 100 kilometer radius around the city that you're headquartered in. So I think that that's incredibly powerful. And then, you know, the reality is that employees are demanding this at this point in time. I think post-pandemic, people really experienced what it was to remote work, and they realized that, like, employees realized that they could do their job as well away from the office, sometimes even better away from the office than going into the office every day. So they don't really see the reason why to compromise on that, and are no longer willing to compromise on that. A lot of employees aren't willing to compromise on it. So they're voting with their feet and really, you know, demanding that, like, flexible working be a reality. So as an employer, if you want to retain the talent and have happy employees, I think that it's just going to become a prerequisite. There was a report actually earlier this year, a top year report on adapting to flexible work. And some of the findings were that HR professionals don't know where their employees are, you know, that, like, this is the problem that's emerging, that HR professionals don't know the location of their employees. And at Boundless, really, we say the solution to that is to allow your employees to be elsewhere and just do it compliantly from the start, because otherwise it's going to, like, result in people hiding things and things like that.
Yeah, it's an interesting observation, all right. Yeah, I mean, unless an employee, especially if they're currently predominantly working remotely,
yeah,
you know, the only address you may have is on a system somewhere that they may or may not update. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a difficult line to walk, isn't it? You know, between people's personal lives and professional lives. And I just think that it's becoming the norm. It's the expectation. So I think not doing it is actually going to raise more problems than it solves.
You can use your own personal experiences, but why do you feel that some people can work more effectively or more efficiently, depending on what word you want to use, remotely?
There's so many different reasons, I suppose. And I come from a background of working in tech, and I'm a developer originally. And I think that product teams and engineering teams have been working in a way that is easy to work remotely for a really long time. Like, I think that we're kind of conditioned to optimize for that way of working, to kind of minimize on meetings and maximize on being autonomous. But actually, what I believe and what we find is that as soon as you make the positive decision to be a remote company, you end up putting in processes in place that make that better. And then essentially you kind of, like, fast track your way to efficiency. So if you're a young company or a small company that decides to be a remote company, your systems are just going to be infinitely better than a company that's co-located, because, you know, you've had to put the thought in place. And I think that sometimes that's a bit of a barrier for people, and, you know, they feel like they're missing out on certain collaborative parts of things. You know, the water cooler conversation, that's the one that always comes up. And, you know, I just believe that it's just a different way of working, and a lot of the times it's better. It's not for everybody and it's not for every company, but, you know, it can be better. And that's really what I believe. And I do believe in the employee happiness part of it. Like, that's what pushed me to be working and living in a country that's not where I'm from. You know, like, I really enjoy the community and life that I can build in this place, but I really also want to work in satisfying work with people that I like. And, you know, I get to do that. I get to craft that myself with this freedom, you know.
And just as a matter of interest, do you believe, or what's your experience with Boundless in terms of, is there any companies it works particularly better for, or any skill set or any departments within sort of companies that you feel it works better? I know you mentioned sort of the tech side
the
of it there
stuff,
to begin. Yeah. Is there any other places where you see it just thriving and other places maybe that might struggle a bit?
Like, personally, I believe that it can work everywhere. And I think that it's kind of a conditioning to believe that it doesn't. But I think that people who come from more operational backgrounds, you know, traditionally rely on meetings more and rely on, like, that kind of face to face more. So, like, personally, I suppose I believe that it can work in all of those departments and in all of those situations. But I think that, like, you need to be surrounded by people in those departments that also believe, right? You know, like, you have to, otherwise you're kind of trying to convince people. So, and of course there are companies where it doesn't work because, like, you have to be, you know, there's certain industries that it doesn't work because you just have to be on location. But yeah, I think that the probably operation side of teams, sometimes it's harder to get the systems embedded there than it is in kind of product and customer success and things like that.
Okay, totally agree with that. We're just going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I just want to talk to you about the process and how this works.
Getting buy-in on your people strategy can often be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. At Irish Life Health, we help HR leaders to unlock insights and make data-driven HR decisions. Join over 2,500 HR leaders who partner with us to help their employees live a healthier life. Search Irish Life Health to find out more. Irish Life Health Act is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Okay, so Emily, really interested. How does it work? How do you work with companies? Declan arrives. He has company ABC. We've 1,000 employees. Mm-hmm. We want to open this up to our employees. What's the process like working with you guys?
Yeah, so from a very simple standpoint, I guess, you know, you can have a signed employment agreement on Boundless within minutes. You know, if you were to look at trying to solve all those problems that we're solving on your behalf, it would take you months, years really, depending on the territory that you're looking at. So, you know, we sign a commercial agreement with the customer, with you, Declan, with your company. And then from there, we're just onboarding people onto the platform, and each of those people can have signed contracts very, very quickly. And we look after everything then from obviously the contract that you've just signed. We provide that contract. We do payroll. We pay all the tax authorities. We pay any other third parties like payroll or pension providers, health insurance, etc. And then we also provide and manage like flexible benefits within each territory, including pension and healthcare. So we're kind of looking after everything to do with employment throughout the employment lifecycle. Particularly focused on compliance along each step of the way. We actually, you know, we often have customers say that it's easy for them to onboard their overseas employees through us than it is in their local system. So say you've got like people in a headquarter company and then they decide to open things up to global, like they say that Boundless is easier than their current systems.
And so, does it change the nature of employment with the employee? So if my ABC company that I formed only minutes ago, if gotcha. They are in Dublin and they're directly payrolled by me and all of that sort of stuff, it's clearly there's a contract of employment between me and them. If they are in Switzerland or wherever via Boundless, are they still my employee?
Yeah, so it really depends on the territory. You know, if they've been an if you asked, does it change? If they've already been an employee with you before you were to move on to Boundless, then, you know, we'd have to do a continuity of employment exercise and make sure that that's compliant in whatever territory it is. But if it's brand new employee, Boundless ultimately are the employers, but the responsibilities are distributed across three parties. So you as a company and Boundless are signing an agreement which states, you know, who has responsibility for what. And then when it comes to the employment agreement, three parties are signing it. So Boundless is signing it, the company is signing it, and the employee is signing it. And the terms of employment are set out there. But we, the company and the customer and Boundless have set out terms as to who is responsible for what, but Boundless is ultimately the employer.
Yeah, so it's clear sort of
roles and responsibilities. But like we're not managing... Yeah, we're not managing, you know, we're not line managing anybody or managing people's holidays or managing, you know, we're doing none of the day-to-day stuff, you know, like we're helping you in the case of if there's any HR issues, if there's a termination, if, you know, if you need like assistance with any of the compliance aspect of things, we're helping you along the way with that. But, you know, ultimately your relationship with the person doesn't change, you know, you're still there. You're still the people that are, you know, managing the day-to-day. Boundless doesn't get involved in that.
And from the employers, or from either point of view, like things like, I'm sorry, I'm getting into the nitty gritty now, Emily, but like stuff like, you know, most companies would have like a annual leave booking system or, you know, those sort of things. Do they still work on the real employers, if you like, systems?
Like, so you can do either or, like Boundless can take care of that kind of thing for you. The reason that Boundless actually goes into that territory, you know, into that area of like time tracking and holiday tracking, is that we have compliance obligations to do that in many countries. So, you know, we're obliged to collect data and that kind of thing in certain countries. Ireland is not one of those countries, but you know, France would be a country that we have to have records on time and attendance. So you know, we can be flexible on that. You know, and we are building integrations with like popular HRIS systems so that we can just pull information from those systems if that's what you want to do, or you can use our tooling either.
Yeah, you've beat me to the punch there. Is there integration typically to HR systems? I'm guessing based on what you just said there, it is.
Yeah,
ongoing.
It's on the roadmap basically. Yeah. That's something that we're working on at the moment.
And is this a big company thing, Emily? Is this something only relatively large size companies can aspire to do?
Interesting. We often actually get asked the opposite of that. So I think that usually the feeling is that this can work for small companies, but it can't work for big companies. We believe it can work for all companies. You know, Boundless can facilitate you from your first employee onwards in employing across borders. So, you know, like we believe that it is for everybody. But I'd love to hear like why you think that it's that it might be a big company thing and not a small company thing.
Yeah, sorry, I can as you answered that there, I can see why people might answer that. The reason I approached it from that viewpoint was I'm presuming there's a cost involved, and typically larger companies can facitate that easier than a smaller company. That was my context.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I get where you're coming from. Like I think cost wise, I think that it's not like we don't see that it's a blocker for smaller companies, because when you consider all of the other factors that are involved. So like if you have decided that you are going to go down this road, then it cost definitely isn't a factor, because the alternatives are so much more costly. Like setting up on your own is costly. Like the risk of not doing it right is very costly. You know, the peace of mind that you pay for with Boundless like starts from a small company. And then obviously I think that increases as companies get bigger. So I think really in that scenario, maybe it might be that people would decide not to allow remote employment in the first place, or overseas employment in the first place. But then you're into that area that we were talking about where, you know, you're not competitive anymore in terms of like accessing talent, and that, you know, you're just kind of you're in the danger zone that like people are going to be doing it anyway. That's how we see it. But we don't really find the cost is the reason why people don't go with us. That doesn't come up in that context.
It is interesting when you were talking about access to talent, and you know, you're obviously widening your talent pool by making this available to both current and potential employees. Is there any data around how many companies are doing this? I mean, obviously I'd be very interested in knowing what percentage of companies in Ireland do it, but do you have any sort of data around that, or what's uptake like, or do you have any stats in that department?
It's a good question. You're putting me on the spot here now. I'm like frantically looking for the right stat for you. I might have to come back to you at the end.
I appreciate it, totally putting you on the spot. It just popped into my head.
Yeah, no, it's a good question, but I know
I'd say it's a tiny,
I don't have it on the tip of my tongue.
And I'm presuming it's a tiny percentage relatively speaking, so I'd be just quite interested in that. Like all,
well,
the
actually
best...
let me put it like this, right?
So you found something, Emily.
I do have some stats. So like your assumption is that it's a small percentage of companies that are kind of defaulting to this. And like I guess our theory is that most companies are kind of defaulting to global now rather than defaulting to local. And if you look at, say, like the stats around employees wanting flexible working, you know, it's always like 50, 60, 70% of employees are saying that like that's how they choose jobs now, or that's like a factor in choosing their job. 70% of Y Combinator companies offer remote options at this point, and that's like a massive majority. And that's in the US, where, you know, international remote isn't so common. So I think that there really are trends here for this being like being the norm rather than the exception.
Yeah, and I definitely think it will become more and more the norm. So
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like it's how you'll stand out, and you know, it's how you will get talent when maybe you can't compete purely on salary or whatever it might be.
Yeah, and it'll create a new world for us all, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like even with the best of intentions, I presume this can go wrong if you don't do it right, whether it's, you know, even if you're not using Boundless, especially, I'm going to guess you're going to tell me, because compliance is a big thing. Yeah. where does international work from anywhere go wrong, if just taking Boundless out of the equation for starters?
Take Boundless out of the equation. Yeah, that's a fair question. I think that there's a temptation sometimes to take shortcuts that aren't compliant. So like people tend towards using independent contracting as a solution to this problem. And maybe like, another version of that is ignoring the tax residency of the employee and just, you know, employing them like they're in your country. And I think that that's a kind of a dangerous territory to be in. You know, you can be at risk of misclassification fines. You know, you're owing governments money in places where you haven't, you know, you might not have paid the correct like taxes and social charges that you need to have. So I think that that's kind of a dangerous place to get into. There are situations where contracting is compliant, but they're majority of European countries anyway, like long-term independent contracting is not compliant. And the temptation is to use that because it's a good short-term fix, right? So that's one place. And then compensation strategy gets a little bit complicated as soon as you go across borders. You know, equal pay across borders is difficult to achieve. And you've got a number of choices in how you go about that. But actually, really, the key that we see is just making sure that you establish some kind of strategy or philosophy early on and stick to it. Because if you don't, you kind of, as your team grows and after your team grows, you end up in a situation where you need to kind of retroactively fix differences in salary equity across borders. I'm sure you can imagine the complexity there. And then different countries, there's different costs and different costs to employ in different countries. So that's something that often surprises customers, that you know, employing in France versus employing in Denmark, it's vastly different social charges and taxes that the employer has to pay. And that can range from like, you know, 5% on top of gross salary to 30-40% depending on the territory you're in. So that's one that surprises people quite a bit, I think.
And how does Boundless mitigate against all of those?
Well, we really just give you guidance and hold your hand in trying to make those decisions, right? So, you know, you need to establish your compensation strategy, whether that's, you know, your strategy is that you're paying local market rates, or the alternative is equal pay for equal work. So, you know, you pick one central location, you pay everybody based on that rate. You know, we feel that over time, this is all going to equalize into a global market, but it's not like that at the moment. So we try to hold your hand in making that decision on what kind of strategy you want to have. And then we've calculators and all kinds of different ways of giving you information on understanding the different costs across borders. So, and then when it comes to contracting, obviously we can employ instead of contracting. So we solve that one in that way.
Emily, it's really interesting. It's a complex area. I think most organizations who want to do it could definitely benefit from chatting to the likes of yourselves. It's just so complex, especially if you want to. If you want to truly open it up to work from anywhere or close to anywhere, there's, as you say, there's no way an individual company could have all of that skill set.
Yeah,
internally,
it has to be a very purposeful decision, I think, you know.
Yeah, really, really interesting. Yeah. Emily, if companies want to get in contact and continue the conversation, what's the best way to do so?
Yeah, you can just get us on info@boundlesshq.com, and our website is boundlesshq.com as well. So you can find us there. We've lots of materials there for cross-border benefits and lots of things to help you make decisions on our blog and on our website as well. So
excellent. And we'll link all of that below the podcast. Emily Castles, thanks so much for joining us. Emily is co-founder and CTO of Boundless. Thanks, Emily.
Thanks, Declan.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
brought to you by Irish Life Health.